So I'm going to try and do a mad rush through to get everybody up to speed with where I'm at. But let's see how we go. Last couple of weeks, or prior to last week, Lek and I were away, of course, and there was a video shown. Did you all see that? Well, the video of Dan Moller. What you fear, what's it called? What you cannot control, what you fear, or something or other, wasn't it? Yeah. And so if you haven't seen that, we'll try and get you the copy of it, because it is just so, so good. Now, I think my iPad is not talking to me because it's not connected to the internet. Hang on a second. We'll get this organised. Because we've been away, I haven't set it back up or something or other, but not connected. Where are we? It's not talking to me at all. No. Sorry, Anthony, can you fix that up for us? I didn't realise it's decided not to talk to me about what's going on at the moment. Anyway, let's just run through it from the videos off the screenshots, and we'll get to where we've got to go with it. But, I've just come to an amazing awareness in talking to different people recently. And I talked about, do we believe God last week, or do we believe in God? A lot of people believe in God, and they have some form of understanding of a God that's out there, but they don't believe God on a personal level to make God real in their own lives. And I'm staggered at the amount of people in, oh, yeah, I know God's able to do anything. It was in one of the songs there. But I'm not sure if he'll do it for me. And I'm like, why? Why not? He's no respecter of persons. If he'll do it for... Oh, I wish I had your faith. I said, I've been given a measure of faith the same as you have. I talk to people and they still can't get it. There doesn't seem to be this capacity for people to grasp hold of things. We were all lost without Christ once. And the whole thing about it, the parallel of the creation story in Genesis is an identical parallel to our salvation. The Bible says in the records that the earth was without form. It didn't mean it didn't have a shape, but it had no structure to it. It was void. In other words, it was pretty well desolate. And darkness was over the face of deep, and it was in chaos, or void, the words chaos. So I don't know if you can relate to that, but if you think about a life without Christ, it's without form, doesn't have a structure to its life. It's void or chaotic, and it's enshrouded in darkness. And that's a parallel to the Genesis story. And the first thing that God said in Genesis was, and if you read the Bibles, it says, light be. He didn't say that, actually. The sun, moon, and the stars weren't made until day four. That shocks a lot of people. The first thing he said was, ore be. And ore was, where we get our English word, order. Order. What God wants is order in our lives. He comes in, he takes care of the chaos, he takes care of the no structure, he takes care of the darkness, and he sets us on a pathway of order. Then if you go through the rest of the things, and I'm not going to preach on Genesis now, but the order is in given for us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Well, we don't do that in a lot of places now. I find a lot of people go to church, grow in the grace of churchianity, and they have a good lot of Christianese speaking, but they have no knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it disturbs me, because that's the purpose of God coming, was to introduce God to us and us to God, to reconcile us to himself and to get our lives back into relationship with God so we were functionally purposeful for him and his kingdom. All right, that's giving it to you between the eyes. So let's go on to the next one. I think I've covered some of that. James, in chapter 2 says, people say this, oh, you say you have faith and I have works or deeds. And he says this, you show me your faith without works, your deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. And the faith deeds that he's talking about were corresponding actions that were based on his faith in God. A lot of people have deeds and they think it's being a charitable organization where you go and feed the sick and feed the hungry and will visit the sick, feed the hungry, do this. And they've turned the Christian life into a life of works servitude rather than the measure of faith being worked through us. And it has to be Christ that is shown through us. So I've got to rush through this. If you want to listen to it, it's on the FaithWorkCC website /sermons, and the last week's message will be in a lot more detail. You believe God is one? I think the Australian cliche, well, good on you. You know, you do well, it says in King James, but good for you. So what? Even demons believe that and they tremble with fear. And you foolish man, do you want evidence that faith without action, works or deed is dead and worthless? Continue on. So do we believe in God or do we actually have a trust and faith and fully believe God? Not the fact that I believe in. A lot of people have a belief in God, but they have no idea who God really is. Is he there or is he something different, something else? And they make up their own preconceived ideas of who God really is. But when we believe God, we do exactly what a lot of these songs says. We act on his word, we act on his promises, we act on his provision, and we take ownership of them. That's faith deeds that have corresponding action to God. Jesus said this, whoever believes on me, as the scriptures have said, not as your church denomination says, not as what your mind thinking says, not what YouTube says, not what this preacher says or that preacher says. You believe as the scripture has said, or you're in trouble, because there's a lot of beliefs out there that talk about God, but they don't introduce God. A lot of people can quote a lot of scriptures. I can tell you about this and about that and about the other. I want to tell you, I want to introduce you to the man Jesus. That's the difference. I really do. And Jesus said, he said, if you drink of the water I shall give, it shall be in you a well springing up into everlasting life. That is yours. That's for you. But then he says, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living. That's for others. We've got to start getting a few rivers flowing. Because if this world's going down the gurgler like it is, we need Christians with rivers flowing out of them, springing up and welling up and bringing life to the masses and showing Christ to people. Continue on. I just want to say, you know, a lot of people know about the armor of God, the helmet of salvation that protects our mind and our thinking, God, and we need to do that. The breastplate of righteousness, guarding our heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. The loins girt about with truth, which is our most godly part, where the capacity to reproduce after our own kind is located. But the trouble is, if I'm a born-again Christian, I need to be girt around with truth to reproduce after the kind that God has made me to be. A lot of people want to introduce people to their church and do them, the, you know, get everything going along the oh yeah, you will, you get saved and you're going to go to heaven one day. I'll dispute that anyway, but the whole scenario is, are we girt about with the real truth of reproducing the life of God in the lives of other people? Whoa, that's what it's all about. But then you talk about your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and that's active because you've got to walk the walk and talk, not just talk the talk. But the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit are both pieces of armor that require action. The shield quenches the lies of the fiery darts of the devil, and the sword of the Spirit fights back with it. So we need to be active and proactive in our faith. These are the corresponding actions of our faith. Next slide says this: to believe God requires that action based on what the scriptures have said. And there's a provision given from God for every life situation, and every one of them we must believe by faith and put that corresponding action into place based on God's word, not based on theory, philosophy, or anything else. It's got to be God's word, the sword of the Spirit, that puts those things into action. Here in Peter, 2 Peter 1:1, and I love this scripture: to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ. Man, he's writing to you and me. Do we have a faith based in that same likeness? Do we? He's writing to you. He's writing to me. We have obtained like precious faith with him, or with the disciples, or with the church in the early days, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge. Oh man, I love this. Woo! You can't get grace and peace without the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh man, we fail so many people so many times because we've got all the Christianese stuff, but we gotta get them into a solid relationship with Jesus. It's a knowledge of Christ. As his divine power has given to us all things, not some things, all things. There's nothing in life or the life of godliness that hasn't been provided to us in Christ Jesus. And we have it through the knowledge of him, through Jesus, the knowledge of Jesus who called us by glory and virtue, by which, oh, we sang a few things about the promises of God in those songs, but I'm telling you this is going to cement it. By which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these, a lot of people have got promises of God, they can quote some of them, but they have no idea how to apply them or walk in them. Through these, you may be partakers of God's divine nature, of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through natural desires, passions, and lust. It takes us from one realm of life, chaos and disorder and darkness, and God sets us into ore. Ore be and ore was. I'm telling you, the parallel of Genesis, the creation story, and the salvation story is amazing. The whole picture of going through it. And I've done it, but I can't go through it now. It takes too long. And so he goes on and he says this: we've been given promises to walk with God in a powerful, overcoming, diligent, and grace and mercy and peaceful way. 2 Peter 1:5. But for this very reason, because of what Christ has given us and we can get to know him, giving all diligence. Now, the word diligence is an interesting word, but it's disciplined application. Get into it with some form of gusto. Add to your faith. Oh, no, I believe in Jesus. I've got faith. What do you got faith in? Oh, I've got faith in God. In what measure have you got faith in God? Have you developed that faith? It's like a baby. A baby's got hands and fingers and arms and muscles. But I tell you what, if that baby doesn't grow and develop those hands and fingers and arms and muscles, that baby will be, later on, of no value to society. And a lot of Christians get born again and they stay in the baby mode and they haven't developed their faith to the point that they become useful for the kingdom of God. He says, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge, and which is including the knowledge of God. I mean, or it's basically remaining that. To knowledge, self-control. We don't just go out of control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. So he gives us some stepping stones of development here. And that development is character development as godly people, as God's people. It develops us in a way that we portray the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, you know, he has put within us his hope of glory. He trusted you and me enough to say, here's my glory, now shine. What have we done with it? What have we done with it? Whew! Man, I'm telling you, the deposit of God's glory in our lives has to start to shine, because that's the purpose that he put it there for. He put all of his trust in his of his glory in us. Whew! Don't want to go off there. I'm going off onto somewhere else I'm not meaning to go on to. And it says, if all these things are yours and dribble out of your mouth every now and then. No, it says abound. Abound. If they're yours and they abound, you will neither be barren, which is unproductive in the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be barren for God. I don't want to be barren for God. He's entrusted me with his truth, with his word, so that my reproductive capacity for his kingdom and being able to reproduce after my kind. I tell you what, I was the sort of Christian that I don't think anyone would want to be like I was. I was carefree. I just thought, yeah, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, blah, blah, blah. And then God got a hold of me. And I tell you what, he smacked me around a bit. He started to teach me what he'd made me to be. And I learned about who I am in Christ and why I'm who I am in Christ and how I have been made complete in him and how I've been made in the image of Christ. And I thought, wow, what have I wasted my life for? I have so much to do for the kingdom of God and to show and reveal and fulfill purposes that I knew nothing about. And so if these things are mine and yours and abound, we will neither be barren, non-productive, or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You go to some people and you say, what can you tell me about Jesus? Oh, he died for my sins. Oh, he was born in a manger. Oh, he rose from the dead, I think. And they can give you some general common knowledge of Jesus. You ask me about Jesus Christ, I'll say, wind up the calendar, I've got so much to tell you. Because I could tie you up for days just sharing who Christ is and who he's made us to be. Because I'm not unfruitful in the knowledge of God. I'm not barren in the knowledge of God. I have put myself in a position to take on board the attributes of the kingdom of God, learning it from his word and becoming proactive, and my faith with corresponding actions has started to become fruitful. Man, it's so important. And then if you go on to the next one in 1:9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten from his cleansed from his old sins, which is the work of Christ in us. And so therefore be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. Man alive. And I could say fumble or stumble as well in that, because to be honest, so many people, when things start to go wrong, fall down in a heap. Man, I tell you, when things start to go wrong, I start to get strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And that's where we've got to be. We're moving on. So it's not enough just to believe in God. Now, Jesus said this, he that hears these sayings of mine and acts on them or does them or acts accordingly or is proactive in the things that I have taught, and by faith we apply them and trust in them. Now, we can't do that if we haven't heard or learned the sayings of Jesus and why he said what he said. There's so much in the scriptures that apply to what God has spoken through not only Christ on the planet when he was there, but through the apostles, through Paul, some of the teachings that Paul brought out about who we are in Christ and who he's made us to be were not there in the disciples' vernacular. I don't know if you're aware of that, but Paul got saved, and then I think it's Colossians, where he says, for 14 years I was unknown by the church, but he met Jesus. And you see why Paul was able to write the scriptures that he wrote, because he had an encounter with God for such an intense time. And he put all that into the letters to the churches. The whole thing that really gets me, I don't know if I can describe this, but if you take the manifold wisdom of God as just being an infinite thing, God revealed himself through his word, and Paul got a hold of that word, Old and New Testament covenant, and he went and preached it to the churches. We have no record of what he preached. You've ever thought about that? He wrote them letters. And from those letters, we have those letters that he sent them, which were corrective and directive and talking to them about the things and whatever. And we read those letters and we think we know them. And we end up with a bit of a knowledge of what Paul might have taught or might have said or whatever have you. And then from that, we start to learn the Word of God in a way. And then we start to put it into practice, I think. And then we continue practicing it because we've been so diligent and persevering. And then we fumble and stumble. I'm a Christian. I know the Word of God. I know what... I think that pretty well sums up a lot of what we have put into Christianese teachings. And people go to church and they learn about God. They learn about Bible stories. They learn sermons. I tell you what, here's a challenge. How many of you have heard more than 10 sermons? How many of you can quote one of them? Maybe that's too big. Maybe I should cut that in half or quarters. Because we just get so full of knowledge. Oh, great sermon, Pastor. That's a great man. Spoke to me well today. Come back next week. What did I tell you? What did I say last week? Oh, I don't know. It's a futile lifestyle unless we are prepared to personally take it on board and allow Christ to be formed in us, which is what Paul taught. If we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, if we've been made holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight, if Christ has been formed in us and we're made perfect in him, start living that lifestyle unabated. The problem is, I met some people while we were over in England a couple of weeks ago that some of us know. And I'm like, their lives are a shambles. And yet they've had every opportunity to have God work on their behalf. But they don't give him any chance. It's like when Eve was tempted by Adam, she wasn't tempted to sin. She was tempted to partake of something. Adam used a con trick. He said, look, God doesn't mean you're going to die if you eat this fruit. It wasn't an apple. It was whatever the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was. God, you're not going to die. He's not going to kill you. He knows that if you eat of that, you're going to be like him. In other words, you won't need him anymore. You'll be independent.
You'll do it your way.
The whole scenario of that independence led to sin. And sin entered the world through that independent spirit that was virtually released through the temptation of the devil. We have still got that independent spirit built into our nature. Yes, we get born again, but the idea of surrendering to God is to lose the independent spirit and become codependent on the Lord Jesus Christ, fully dependent on Him, and the independence cast off and cast away. But the unfortunate thing, if we don't grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and we become barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of God, the independent nature raises its ugly head again. And once that independent nature raises its ugly head, people that used to go to church and have heard all about God and have been in the mosh pits and done the hoo-hahs and the jumping and the bouncing and everything else, or gone to church and listened to sermons, get discouraged. And all of a sudden, they'd start to take note of the world, because the word has been sown amongst thorns, and that chokes the word, and they become unfruitful in the things. And all of a sudden, the cares of this world, which are the thorns and the thistles, begin to become more important to them than the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they never actually knew Him in a way they should. And they fall away. And then they become everything the world says. Oh, boy, you know, have a look at this. You know, the world says we can be this or that. Oh, maybe I'm not really a man. Or maybe I'm not really, or maybe I was, and everything becomes a blur and a haze, and the independent nature of man that God paid the price for raises its ugly head, and unfortunately, people get sucked in by it. And it crushes the life of God and it kills them. And people who don't even know God have even less chance than those who used to know God or haven't known the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said this: not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, and in your name we cast out demons, and in your name we even performed miracles. And he will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That interesting part, I never knew you, was not that he didn't know them. It's the same word, and Adam knew his wife Eve. I had no intimate relationship with you. Yes, you did all the right things. Yes, you said all the right things. Yes, you performed well. But I didn't know you. We were strangers. We were far apart. We can go through the motions, but I'm telling you what, if we don't know Jesus, the day will come when he says, well, who are you? Ah! That would crush me to the max. I want to say, I want to be, hey, buddy, Ken, welcome home. That's the God that I love and trust. That's the God I put my life in. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, this is believing God. Believing involves action. Believing involves commitment. Believing involves our whole life being thrown over to be surrendered to the Lord Jesus. He who believes and hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. I'm telling you what, this is a relationship with Jesus that's preserving, protective, strong, founded on Him, unmoved by whatever happens in the world and the things of this world. No thorns and thistles choking the word and the cares of this world taking over. And the things of the world come against us. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house that was built. And it didn't fall because it had been founded on the rock. Fully fruitful and fully reproductive. Not lost in any of what God had provided for them. Founded on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on no foundation and just builds it on sand. the rain, the floods come, and the winds blew and slams against the house, and it falls, and great is its fall, demise and destruction. Yeah, I've rushed through this, I'm sorry, but there's so much here for you to grasp and get hold of. We believe in God, or do we believe God? Do we put our lives fully surrendered to Him and totally founded on Him in order for our lives to be built on everything He provided for us through Calvary and was taught through the scriptures about what we have and who we have been made to be in Christ? I've told the story, and just for those of you that haven't heard it, I never heard a thing in my early days as a Christian about who I'd been made to be in Christ. It was always, you're not good enough. Oh, you'll never make it. Oh, you just failed again. You know, give your life to Christ. If you've sinned this week, come out the front and rededicate your life and all that hoo-ha. And it was. It was absolute numbers to the front for most churches. Well, no, someone gave me a pamphlet one day. I think it was Pastor David Rieke. And on it was Who I Am in Christ. I've still got it in the cover of my Thompson Bible. And all of the scriptures about being righteousness of God, being a new creature, being made holy, being made unblameable, being made unreprovable in His sight. It hit me like a ton of bricks that everything that was condemnatory fell off my life straight away. Everything. All of a sudden, I saw what God had made me to be. And it wasn't till years later that I realized why God had made me to be those things. It was so Christ could be revealed in me. I thought it was a status thing. I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, you know? And I took it as that, which you could do. But then through the Word of God being opened up to me through Curry Blake, I learned why I was who the things I was in Christ. Man, that turned me around on my ears. It completely blew my mind. It took me to a whole new understanding of why I am who I am in Christ. And I've been walking in that. And then people like Dan Moller come along and preach the most amazing messages about how it is to be proactive in all of those areas of what we've been made to be in Christ. So, so good. My final wind up. It's definitely not enough just to believe in God. We have to believe God. We have to believe His word. We have to search it out. We have to put it in where it belongs. David said this, "Thy word have I hidden in my memory." Now, you can learn the word with your head. Your head gets in the way half the time. My word have I hidden in my heart, and my breastplate of righteousness is guarding, protecting, and doing that, guarding my heart with all diligence, because out of that area of my being are the issues of life. And if I'm not careful, I'll let issues override the word of God, and I'll become caught up in the things of the world and the cares of the world. And I don't want that. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. And so if we begin to search out God's word, if we begin to take it and apply it, and I'm telling you, just read the word again and put your name there. If any, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, what's the word therefore for? It's there because of what was previously said. So when you see a therefore, go and find out what it's talking about. And then go on and say, therefore, because of all of what Paul just said, therefore, if any man, if Ken be in Christ, Ken is a new creature. All of the old things in Ken's life have passed away. And behold, all things in Ken's life have become new. And I own the word of God. I owned it for myself. I began to read the whole thing in the perspective of my name being everywhere. It was put there for my benefit. And that word is in my heart. Locked, secured, never to be moved. And I have been made, Ken, or you have been made, Paul says. Ken has been made holy. I don't feel holy. I don't act holy sometimes. But the scenario is in God's eyes. If you read the whole thing in context, that's how God sees me. And God, you have seen me, Ken, holy. unblameable. You don't hold me for anything. You don't point the finger. In fact, there's no way you will even hold me to account for everything you've forgiven me of. And I grew up thinking that one day God was going to get up there and we would stand before the judgment and all of our sins would be read out and everything would be exposed. What a lot of religious bunk. Lie of the devil, that's a doctrine of devils, that thing. I can tell you that. Because your sins and your iniquities I'll remember no more. As far as the east is from, I've been judged at the cross. The judgment seat of Christ is for the wicked. I'm not part of that. Because I've been made holy, unblameable. And Ken has been made unreprovable. What does that mean? He's not going to come on and say, I told you so. You shouldn't have done that. I'm unreprovable in his sight because he sees me in Christ and he sees Christ in me. The hope of glory, his deposit. God put a hope in you and me. What? Christ is in us as God's entrusted hope for us to shine out. You are a city set on a hill, a light that cannot be hid. What's that for? It's an attraction. You ever driven along at night time and you're coming down from Ballarat or anywhere towards the city and you see the glow of the city over the sky and then the skyline? You can't see the city yet, but you can see the glow. Anyone walked in your lifestyle and said, gee, there's a bit of a glow there? Has anyone come up and said, you know, wow, what's the light in you? I got a river, mate. What would you like to know? And I'll let it flow. You know, it doesn't happen often. And I wish it happened more often. But I remember being in a car yard one day and the salesman walked out and he said, look, you don't know me and I don't know you, but I'm da-da-da. I just got to talk to you. I said, what about? He said, I've just had a crazy breakup in my life and my girlfriend's left me and I don't know why, but for some reason I've got to talk to you about it. Never knew the guy. Never met him. Didn't know him. I said, come on, I'll have a little talk to you. I said, the reason he wants me to talk to you is because I know a guy that heals those things. He came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set at liberty those that are bruised. I said, you're carrying bruises and you're carrying hurts that God wants to set you free from. And the Lord Jesus paid the penalty for those things to be taken out of your life. Bang! Can I pray with you? Yes! You know, those things have just got to be... I never put a sign up and said, Christian, come and talk to me. I never wore a T-shirt that said, born again. And I was just in ordinary clothes. I had no idea this bloke walked out of the office. I don't know whether he was thinking he's going to sell me a car. What are you going to do? I was just wandering through. I've got to talk to you. There's something about you that I want to talk. God opens doors. He mightn't have opened it very wide, but I'll tell you what, I kicked it down before he got a chance to close it. Absolutely. And that is the knowledge of God, not being barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I can encourage you to do anything today. Start to believe God like you've never believed him before. Start to believe his word like you've never read it and read it again as if it's the very first time, but put your name in it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created Ken. And Ken's life was without form. It had no structure to it, and it was void and chaotic. And darkness was all over it, and God said, order be. And he took me with the blood of the Lord Jesus. He took away the darkness. He took away the confusion. He took away the chaos, and he said, order be, and order was. That was my start in salvation. And it's been a growth in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus that I wouldn't swap for anything. Oh, man. Sorry about this. I'm a blubbering mess. But I'm tired. totally enveloped in my favorite subject, knowing Jesus. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus once again. I pray for us, everyone here, that you'd transform us by your Spirit so that we're neither barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that our lives will be transformed, changed, and turned around fully to be reflective of him in all that we are, say, and do. I pray your word sown today will grow and bring forth a hundredfold fruit, that our lives will be shining for you, effective for you, living for you, and showing you in all that we are, say, and do. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Bless you all.